You. The reading on the bulletin isn't what we're doing, it's what we did last week at church camp. Sorry about that. The reading that we read helps us start to think about our subject this morning, but it's not the one that we're going to be focusing on. We spent some time last year as a church on 1 John. I'll just put it in there just to get us into the idea again of what it means to be God's people and where it comes from. The fact that it all begins with Jesus, and it talks about coming into the light and walking in the light. And when we walk in the light, with the light shining on us, showing us up as we really are, then there's a problem, there's sin, but there's also a solution, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of him, we can be in fellowship together. Okay, so that's why we had 1 John. We're going to have a few other Bible passages. We'll get to those in due course. As a church, we've been trying to get clear, to remind ourselves of what we're about as a church here at One Way. Now, we've got visitors. That's not a problem, because hopefully, as a church here, what we want to be about is what we think all God's people should want to be about. So you're going to get some helpful teaching, hopefully, as well for yourselves. Our vision was everyone in Margate, the Channel and beyond getting to know Jesus for their salvation, the good of society and the glory of God. That's our vision statement. We spent some time on that a few weeks ago. Then we've been unpacking what it means for us to be people that offer to other people hope, community, and a fresh start in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before our camp, we looked at hope. Last week we had our camp. So today we're thinking about community. The next week we'll be looking at a fresh start. So let's just pray and ask God to help us in our time as we think about what it means to be part of his community. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us. You promised to speak to us as we read the scriptures. Help us to get it this morning, to understand. Help us where we need help the most, where we struggle. Please give us a bigger, richer, more inspiring vision of what the community of people that you've called together in the church should be like. And encourage us towards that, we pray. Not only for our good, because it will be for our good, but for the good of those around and about us who do not know you. For when people see your true disciples living in accordance to your word, they know there's something different. So help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Loneliness is a growing problem. This can seem, I think, strange to us when we are more connected with more people than ever before. So things like social media and the technology that we have. But social media only offers a certain sort of connection, doesn't it? And the technology that we use in various ways is actually creating greater distance between people. Arguably, far more conversations are happening, but fewer of those conversations are face-to-face. There's a distance. Increased connection, but less face-to-face. The pace of life these days is leaving people behind, especially as you get older. It's far less common these days to find people staying in one place for the whole of their lifetime. It's more common to be moving multiple times in your life, great distances, not talking even about separate suburbs. So you have people moving out and people moving in, and happens the whole time. You just look at the property market and you can see how quickly that's happening. People are routinely moving three or four times, if not more, in a lifetime. So, a place like Margate, our little town, used to be a place where perhaps you knew everyone not so long ago. It's not the case today, as a growing suburb, as it has more people coming in, as some who have been here for a while maybe move elsewhere. You can't keep up with all the movements, and that has an impact on the sense of community and loneliness. Against these trends and others, Jesus is building his church and has been over the course of 2,000 years. The church is his community. The church is the gathering of his people. And the local church, wherever it meets, is hopefully an embodiment of how good it is to be his people. And people can think different things about community. I wonder what you think. What is community? What should the Christian community, the church community, be like? And there's different ways of understanding what community means. You can talk about the Margate community. Just a community in a place. That's a different sort of community than, for instance, the Greek community, who are having a big festival today in Hobart, I think. Lots of smashing plates and dancing, I should imagine. Don't get that in Margate, but you do get it in the Greek community. You might get it with Greeks in Margate, but there's a different sort of sense of community. And that's different from the one-way church community, which is something else entirely. And we can think about what that is as we go along today. So the Margate community is about where you live. The Greek community is connected by where you come from and your culture and background. And there's another one maybe, something like a netball community, just focused around an interest or an activity, something you do. But the one-way community is different again. The church community is different again. And so we're thinking about this community that Jesus makes, which he calls his church. And it is very different, and it's a far bigger idea of community than many others. A community, those who are taking their notes, is this. This is a bit of a definition here. A community is a group, this is how we're taking it, that shares common values. What are values, Graham? Glad you asked. Values are the things that are important to the group. They are what hold the community together. And what those values are, when you work out what they are, it indicates how that group actually stays together. Might be you play netball. Well, that's how you stay in there. So a community is a social group, so more than one person that shares common values. And Jesus' community, the church, has the sorts of values that make it really, really different from anything else. Most importantly, the most important value is this, that Jesus is Lord. That means that Jesus runs it. Jesus is in charge of it. What he says goes. How he wants it to be is how it should be. Anyone who's truly a part of Jesus' community knows and loves Jesus Christ and loves that he's Lord and wants to live for him his way. Okay? So I want us to understand that again this morning, if we had forgotten, but I also want us to reflect on what it is about this community
that we have, Jesus' community that we have, that's actually worth talking about? Is there anything worth talking about? As we say to people, we want to offer you hope, community, and a fresh start in the name of Jesus. I hope there is something worth talking about. So let's have a think about it. Three things I want to focus on. The firstly, and this is three marks of this community. The first one is this, that it's a gospel community. There's a passage in the Bible you can turn up and look at, please. Galatians chapter 3. So first one there, shout out a page number. 1153. If you're sitting next to one of the younger ones, just make sure they're getting there. Someone come and help me as well. Here we go. So Galatians 3, verse 26 to 29. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're not going to be able to deal with all of the things in that passage. We're breaking in on Paul's argument a little bit, but we can be clear on a few things here, which I'll go through in a moment. But you've heard of people who join a new group and they're so pumped, they're so excited about it that they keep on and on and on about it. Well, Jesus' community is the best sort of that sort of thing because it's made up of people who have all come to know something very important. That the God who made all things and every person loves them. He so loves them. So loves them that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's what we call the gospel. It's Jesus' message. Martin Luther, a very influential person in the history of the church, who with some others began what we know as the Protestant Reformation in the Middle Ages, which was a rediscovery of the great truths of the Bible. He'd spent his whole life living in fear of God, fearful, scared, totally afraid. Even as a monk serving God in a monastery, his life was characterized by this fear, in which he thought God hated him because he looked at his own life and saw only reasons for a holy God to be angry with him, until he discovered the good news about Jesus and understood it. He had but to trust in Jesus, to put his faith in Jesus, and he'd be saved. Safe. Not only from punishment and judgment from God, but actually more than that, not just he missed punishment, but that he'd been brought into a relationship with God. He was now a child of God, now a son of God, and now in a relationship also with other children of God. So in Galatians 3, the gospel is there, this good news about Jesus, and in faith we become the children of God. That's what it means there in verse 26. You're all children. You're all sons, it says there. But you're all children of God through faith. There's a new category. Children of God. And you've come to be that by trusting in Jesus. Verse 27. All of you who are baptized into Christ just means again, trusting into Jesus. But you've clothed yourselves with Christ. Got this idea of clothing. Now,
here's some people, you younger ones can think about, well, and the older ones. Here's some people who dress a certain way. And by the way people dress, you can work out certain things about them. God, we do this all the time, don't we? So up here we've got representatives of the Gothic section of society. They listen to certain sort of music, don't they? Yep. They dress a certain way, there's a certain look. By the clothes that they've put on, you know they're a goth, or likely to be. Over here, you've got the outlaw bikey gang type. You can tell that because they've got an outlaw bikey gang label on the back of them. They look a certain way. You can generally pick them out. Down here, you've got the chavs. Speaking from an English perspective, it's not the nicest sort of term, but council housed, antisocial and violent is basically what chav means. But it's become its own thing. Here you go, I even came across this, chav values, to act in a certain way and to dress in a certain way. A chav feels the need to fit in with their chav peers in their environment, therefore act mischievous, rude, and aggressive. They like to cause trouble. They're recognized for their common crude accents and bad language. They're often uneducated or unemployed. Dress in a certain way, it's awful. It's awful. The chav includes wearing branded designer sportswear, gold jewelry, hoop earrings, chains, and the Burberry tartan. Whatever that is. Boys may use excessive amounts of gel to spike their hair, or shaved head is common. Girls usually slick back their hair into a high ponytail. So there's some values there. And you can tell them by the clothes they wear. Well, Paul is talking about some different clothes here. Did you see what clothes Paul's talking about? Oh, I was looking for Christian, and I was trying to find those classic pictures of the Christian stereotype. I couldn't actually find any. So they must have wiped those out. Oh, here we are. Okay, what does he say? What does Paul say? He says, those who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Here's the look of this community. It's the look of Christ. It's not some jacket. It's not some label. It's not even something outside of you. It's sort of clothing on the inside, isn't it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's no distinction in this passage anyway. We have these categories, verse 28. Of Jew and Gentile. That was the world that Paul was writing into. There was Jews, God's chosen people, loved by God, treasure possession, and then there was everyone else. Not chosen by God. Not his treasure possession, at least in the minds of the Jews. Massive divide. There were slaves, and there were people who were free. And obviously there's males and females. But what Paul's saying is, this is bigger than those distinctions. When it comes to those things that you didn't choose, all of those categories of things that you didn't choose, you're born a Jew, you're born a Gentile, you're generally born a slave, or certainly you can't choose to be free. You're born a male, born a female. There's none of that here. There's one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you all receive the same promise of God's children, promise to God's children. You're all one, all together in Christ Jesus. And what is it that makes that possible? It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes it possible
to get rid of male chauvinism and female supremacism or feminism. Not get rid of them, but bring those things together. It's because we've got a bigger category, children of God. The gospel does this. Jesus is the value that we all share in common. Our trust in him expresses that value. The values that make this community work are what we find in the gospel. Let's run through just a few of them. Okay, here we are. We're all sinners. We saw that in 1 John. Try and deny that. We're not making sense. We're not in touch with reality. And at the end of it, we're making God into a liar. But we're forgiven by God because of Jesus. Okay? So we're forgiven sinners. That means we can be radically different in culture, in race terms, in terms of our background, in terms of where we find ourselves, in terms of wealth and resources. It means we could have been enemies in a previous life, in the past. We could have been the bitterest enemies, in fact. Before Jesus, but because of Jesus and the gospel about him, we can come together. It's a staggering thing. It's a gospel community. When we talk about our community, right, it should be good news to people. It should be good news. What is good news about our community? It's that people who are so very different because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done, because of our trust in him, not our trust and dependence on each other so much, our trust and dependence upon him allows us to live together, to overcome those things that would otherwise divide us, even if they're the things that we couldn't choose and couldn't move, like we're a bloke or a girl. We're a Jew or a Gentile, or a Dutch or an English. That's a barrier, isn't it? When we talk about our community, it should be good news to people. Second thing, so that's a gospel community. Second thing is this, second mark, should be a loving community. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3 now, so a little bit more running around the Bible. First one there, shout out the number, page number in the blue Bibles. 1167, thank you, Michael. So, same kind of language coming up as Galatians, but a different angle. Jake's already been reading from Colossians 3 this morning. It's good stuff. We're going to start reading from, I'm going to start reading from verse 9, I think. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Okay,
Again, there's a new category. It's not now the children of God, it's the God's chosen people. God's chosen people because of Christ. Whether you are circumcised or uncircumcised, whether you're a barbarian or a Scythian, whatever they are. Don't think it was a great thing. A new category. A new clothing to put on again. This time it's talked about in terms of virtues. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Put all those things together and you get a certain sort of vibe, don't you? And you can see how helpful it is to have that sort of vibe in any community. And you can see why Jesus wants it to be in his community. We need compassion. We need a care factor for each other and for anyone for that matter. We need kindness. In pastoral ministry, one of the things that comes into my mind when things are tough, particularly, and thinking about all the things that can happen in church, is this. It's really very simple. Just be kind. If that was the case, I could spend all my time on preaching. Just be kind. We need kindness, humility, thinking of others better than yourself, not putting yourself up, putting others up. We need humility, gentleness. I love that word because it's so strong. Don't you think? Gentleness? If you have to be gentle, it presupposes that you are able to use power ungently. You know what I mean? Gentle is about control. It's about channeling power for good. And patience. Who doesn't need some patience? You know, we have very short time frames on expectations, don't we? You can think from the leadership of the church point of view, well, we've got to do this in this year, we've got to cram it all in. Okay, we can try and do some things. We're not going to do everything. But over the course of time, and even then we're thinking, oh, well, okay, let's stretch that out to 5 years or 10 years. You read through Acts, it's like bang, 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 bang. But there's some time lapses in Acts that are like, you know, pretty long. We've got time and God's in control. Not just in terms of where the church is going, but where the person that is winding me up is going. Probably about 70 years. They may struggle with the same thing for every day of those 70 years, or they may not. But God will take them on that journey. Bear with, verse 13, bear with one another and forgive one another. Yeah, it's a time of bearing with each other. This is loving community. And grace is in view. So grace is that type of love which is not deserved. Okay, it's God's love to us is the ultimate example of this. We don't deserve his love, but he lavishes it on us anyway. It's his grace. We don't deserve it. But neither does the person who's hurt you. What do they deserve? Well, you might have a number of answers about that. The teaching here for Jesus' people is to forgive one another just as God forgave you. So, under loving community, a couple of important things. Firstly, it's not a perfect community. We know that if we've been in it any length of time. If you're on the outside looking in, I want you to know it's not a perfect community. But it does have at its center this idea of grace and love. You notice how verse 14 says, over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You want to know what love is? It's made up of all of those other things together. The church cops flack all the time, sometimes for the rightly so, and other times for reasons we just can't make head or tail of. There's a misconception that people in the church should be perfect. It's not the case. The reality is we're selfish. We're just like any other person, really. But hopefully God's doing a work in us. So it's not a perfect community. But it's also not based on friendship either. A chap called Jean Vanier, who's thought about this a lot, had a ministry where he took in the most vulnerable people in society and established these centres. He wrote a book on community, and he says friends are the enemies of true community. It's a provocative thing to say, and it needs qualifying. What he meant was that we tend to include or exclude people based on whether we like them, whether we get on with them, whether we want to be around them or not. That's a natural, sad, natural human thing. And so what that produces is cliquiness. And we know, most of us, why that's not such a good thing. In addition, it's not quite where clothing ourselves with compassion and kindness is going, is it? If we've clothed ourselves with compassion and kindness, then we're not going to isolate or ignore or exclude. Jesus never did. And we're his people. If we've clothed ourselves with humility and gentleness and patience, then we won't put ourselves out there as perfect. And we'll recognize that we're all on this journey, that we're all trying to get to a better place as God works on us and in us and through us. And if we just have community based on friendship, it'll be pretty hopeless. Certainly for people on the outside, if not for people on the inside. So this is to be a loving community. That's what's in view. A loving community. And it's based on commitment then. Commitment to one another. We spoke a little bit about this on camp. We were talking about honesty and being open with each other. And, you know, as Christians, should we be totally honest in every way with everyone all the time? And we said, no, that's really hard, isn't it? That's not the reality of our lives. What we do is we have ourselves with all of our frailties inside, and we put layers around ourselves to protect ourselves. And so we sort of walk around like those. You can get those massive, great sumo suits that you wear where you step into a big body. It's got all this padding around you. So you end up like this. It's like we're running around like this all the time, bumping off the padding that stops us getting down to the real nitty-gritty in the middle. Because if people only knew, or I can't bear to think about myself in that way, and I don't want other people to think about me that way. And so it's just really hard stuff. But the answer to that is not total honesty. The answer to it is total commitment. That says, me to you, I am for you. Wherever you're at. And that's what love is. We've got all sorts of ideas about love, no doubt, but in the Bible, when we think about God's love and his steadfast, committed, hesed love. That's what's in view. If there's no commitment, if there's honesty without commitment, it's a disaster, isn't it? So it's got to be a loving community. Finally, very quickly, a growing community. Turn to Acts 2. We're nearly done. So this is page 1079 from verse 42. This is the snapshot of the early church as they met. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. All of the community life is happening here, and the sense you get is clearly that the thing is just growing and God is the one who's growing it. It seems to have, this community here, a gravitational pull. The people are walking past and then, whoa, here we go. We're in with the Christians. It's all about Jesus. Sometimes it can seem that the church has the opposite. Oh, here we go. Stay well away from that. A sort of repulsion rather than an attraction. Instead of people coming in, people keeping as far away as possible. And regarding people on the edge and new people looking in, they see the people inside. And sometimes they see in the people inside that actually church is too hard. Church puts too many demands on my time. Don't really feel like being at church, or something else, or something else. In short, a world away from Acts chapter 2. I wonder what the guys in Acts 2 would make of our 50% attendance rate. I think it's climbing a little bit. What would they make of that then? What do you reckon they'd make of that? What would they make of our independence and privacy? Jesus' community isn't about independence. It's not about total dependence either. What it is about is interdependence. People needing each other as part of a body. People doing things with each other. Jesus' community is about interdependence, where we need each other. And the attitude that prevails isn't receiving. Take, take, take. And preference, preference, preference. It's about giving and serving. Because, and I've said this time and again, if everyone's attitude is giving and serving, then everyone receives, don't they? Don't they? You receive a lot from everyone, in fact. It's a wonderful thing. And reading Acts 2 gives us a snapshot glimpse of just that. People who couldn't get enough of meeting with each other in the presence of God. They devoted themselves to good teaching and expressing what their, these values of their community in eating and praying together. Generously directing their means to various needs as they became aware of them. A warm home life. So there was the temple courts. It wasn't like
oh, that's real hot and over here's real cold. No, far from it. There was another expression of community in a slightly different context. Breaking bread. Enjoying and extending hospitality with glad and sincere hearts. Guess what that community did? Guess what that sort of community does? It gets you a great profile in the community.
And it also got God adding to their number.
I think God's got some work to do on us here at One Way. I want to ask whether we're up for it. Because if we're going to hold out to people hope, community, and a fresh start, we've got to be able to back that up with what we think about hope, with what we express in terms of community. And if our community isn't good news for us, this is our big idea, guys, who are filling in. If our community isn't good news for us, then it's not going to be good news for anyone else, is it? It's a challenge we all need to hear, I think. If our community isn't good news for us, then it won't be good news to anyone else. Here are some ways for us to talk about our community in the Margate community or the Channel community or really wherever you are if you belong to a church community. We want to be able to talk about it as a community where you can belong. So you talk to your friends, you say, it's a community where you can belong. But if you're going to say that, it's got to be said by those who love to belong. It's a community where you aren't judged. But if you're going to say that, it's got to be said by those who don't look down on others. It's a community where you can grow. But for people to see that that's good news, can they see that it's said by someone who wants to grow? And it's like going along, like I've been given the joyous gift of National Geographic for a year. Didn't have anything, and then they all came at once just the other week. You open it up, you think, wow, oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's really interesting. Wow, fantastic. But, you know, just, oh, where's the next one? Oh, I've got three at once, so there is a next one. Just engulfing this interesting stuff. Do we think that way about this and the truths in here? It's a community that the Lord adds to. I'd love to be able to say that more and more. But that can, well, it needs to be said by those who welcome gospel, loving, and growing community. And if our community isn't good news for us, it's not going to be good news for anyone else. Let's pray. Father in heaven, please help us. Help us to be so very thankful that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be part of your great community that you're growing in the world, have done so through the ages. And here we are now, here in this room in Margate, and we're part of it. Father, we pray that you'd help us to reflect more of what you'd like us to be. That we'd reflect less of the society that we live in and some of these awful trends that are driving people apart. And Father, to those who are lonely, both inside and outside the church, may we be able to talk about community and mean good news when we're talking about this community.
I pray you'd help us to be able to offer that true community in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to one and all. Amen.